Welcome to Back Pocket Entertainment. I'm your host, Matt Martinez, and we interrupt your regularly scheduled programming. We're going to take a little break from the Thor saga that will return next week. But for right now, we're going to give you a brief glimpse into our Baltimore Comic-Con experience. We went there, had a blast, saw a couple panels, met some heroes. We'll get into that. I don't want to gush too much. But I was there with my buddies Dan, Justin, and Marty, my con men, if you will. It sounds like a horrible superhero team. But anyway, but before we get into the main content of the podcast, I just want to give you a few updates on the site, backpocketentertainment.com. There will also be con pictures, some videos of the panels we attended. Really good stuff from the DC Universe panel, as well as the Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy Cartoon Movie panel, which was fantastic, with a podcast and Q&A after that. There'll be reviews of that stuff on the site as well. But for now, here is the podcast, Baltimore Comic-Con edition. Dan, Justin, and Marty. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are all you guys doing tonight?
Yeah.
So we just came from Baltimore Comic Con 2013. Had a blast. Oh, how was the con for you guys?
Con was good.
You guys get any any cool loot? Just all right?
It was all right. Didn't get what I came for.
I'm sorry. Dan is a huge fan of artist Amanda Connor, and couldn't get a sketch. He's very upset. There are tears in the car right now, and he's driving. We're swerving all over the road. It's horrible. But anyway, yeah, I was super excited. I got to meet Kevin Smith, my hero. Got great footage of the DC New 52 panel. That'll all be on the site. So let's just go around and get everybody's favorite con moments. Let's start with Marty.
Oh, best con moment. Catching up with Matt Waringo. Did an awesome Spider-Man piece. Spider-Man sitting atop the Dunkin' Donuts sign, chilling with an iced coffee.
Now, Spider-Man is your favorite character, right?
Absolutely.
What is your favorite Spider-Man moment from the comics?
Death of the Green Goblin.
Nice. Very nice. Why does that impact you so much?
Because the Green Goblin killed Gwen Stacy.
Got what he deserved.
So he got what he deserved.
Nice. We got 20 minutes. What about you, Justin? What was your favorite con moment?
I was able to find multiple My Little Pony figures and dolls. Of the exact type I was looking for, the character that I was looking for.
I'm very proud of you. Not yes. Many men admit.
Are you ready?
To dozens of people who will listen to this.
Let's start the chant. Brony, brony, brony. Yeah.
I would be happy to provide the name and picture of my 6-year-old daughter to confirm that I am not an actual brony.
Dude, just own it. Own it. It's out there now. You can't put it back in the box.
Her all favorite right. character is not mine, so that was, you know, the disappointment.
Oh, so you admit you have a favorite brony.
No, but it was exciting to find the rarity dolls that she wanted, because that's her favorite, so that was the best part.
Nice. Very cool. What about you, Dan? Favorite con moment?
My favorite con moment was probably catching up with Matt Browingo. I didn't get to take my convention sketch home with me, but he's going to mail it to me. It is Power Girl washing the 1966 Batmobile with Robin watching in awe and Power Girl saying, "Batman sure makes you watch this a lot."
Nice.
And
a picture with Amanda Connor.
My absolute favorite moment was getting to meet my favorite artist, Amanda Connor.
Nice.
Getting a picture with her, shaking her hand, putting the fear of God in the Jimmy Palmiotti and saying, if you ever... No, I'm just
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, goodness gracious. So we've all been comic book fans for quite some time. This is the second con this particular crew has been to together. We were at Philly Wizard World back in, and we're going through a tunnel. This is going to sound awesome online. yeah, so this is the second con we've all been to as a crew, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of great cosplayers. One particularly who was my favorite, the girl who was cosplaying as Raven.
From the Teen Titans,
yeah. Well, did an impeccable job. There were a couple other Ravens, but she was definitely the best. She was kind of just kind of sitting around in different places. Like, every time I would see her, she wouldn't be, like, moving at all. She'd just be, like, a living statue.
It's
in her place.
Raven pose.
Yeah, well, true, Raven pose. I'm wondering if they were paying her to be, like, living art at
Probably
the place.
Not. But are you going to put pictures up on the website to accompany this podcast?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's going to be pictures and video supplements as well. Like I said, I got great footage of the DC52 panel and Kevin Smith's Q&A. Got to ask him a question. I was so nervous. I was shaking. The man is my hero. He's inspired me in so many ways. I'd be into all the things I'm into, but I wouldn't know how to express myself the way I express myself if it wasn't for him. And it sucks because I was there, I was on mic, like I had the room's ear, and all I had to do was be like, oh, and by the way, I have a podcast and a website, everyone. But no, I pussed out, and I was just shaking. I'm like, well, when's Ben Affleck gonna be on Fat Man on Batman?
Don't you ever, not this truck. Don't ever mention his name.
Oh.
Joking, but not really.
Some of us have some issues with the Batfleck.
Wow. It's Batfleck.
One of us not so much, but since I'm counting on Dan for a ride, I'll just keep my opinions to myself on that matter.
You know I'm joking, but not really. So go ahead, you can say what you want, but not really.
Alright, so we got to the con, and what was the line wrapped halfway around the building, or most of the way around the building?
At least, yeah. For people who didn't pre-buy their tickets, which was stupid.
I still don't understand that. Like, I mean, unless you don't have an internet connection, but if you don't have the internet, why are you going to a Comic-Con? In the first place?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not judgmental, but...
Yes, you are.
A little bit. But, I mean, there are some things. Anyway.
Yeah, what was it? Like 12:30-ish. Then we walked out to get something to eat, and everybody was standing in line halfway around the building on the other side of the building, and we stopped and asked somebody, what's this line for? And he says, to get in the con. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, we've been in since 10 o'clock, and we all bought our tickets online, so that's how we got in.
Online? What's that? I don't get it. It's a con, and the population is nerds. I mean, they live online.
Yeah.
So how do you not buy your ticket online?
I don't know.
You're a bad nerd.
Bad nerd. It wouldn't have surprised me if people were still waiting to get a ticket as the show was closing at 7 o'clock.
Well, I'll tell you what, that crowd at that show was fantastic. They were packed to the gills.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it was a bigger room than Philly, but, like, packed way more. Like, there's hardly any place to move around.
Yeah, and Stan Lee didn't show. So it was packed without Stan Lee.
For unforeceen circumstances.
I really hope he's okay. Man's a national treasure.
I told you.
If anything ever happens to him, it's going to be like, I'm going to take a day off of work and...
it's all my fault.
you were that last signature to
it. I got that book signed. I think he was just holding out for that. I gotta say, one of my favorite points from the con was being able to see and take a picture of Action Comics number one, Batman number one,
Superman number one,
and two, Captain America number one, where he's punching Hitler, which is a classic.
Oh, nice.
The Journey into Mystery with the first Thor, the Tales of Suspense with the first Iron Man, all lined up in a row. The Amazing Fantasies 15s, there was multiple copies of those.
I have the Tales of Suspense number 57 in First Hawkeye.
That's pretty good. I don't think that was in the case, though.
No, probably not.
Next to action.
Probably not.
But that was very cool seeing those, you know, the... And they were decent grades, too. The action was a 5-0. And what was the Superman? The Superman was decent, too.
It was a 8-point something.
Yeah, and the Batman was decent, too.
Very cool.
So those were neat books to see. Dan, of course, tried to get them to take them out of the case to hold them, which did not happen.
Which got shot down immediately.
I would have asked for like at least like half the buyer's fee deposit before you even set one finger on it.
I didn't have $500,000.
Yeah, like you said, it would probably end up going for 500 grand.
Oh my god,
easily.
He politely told Dan to fuck off.
Yep. I mean, hey, it doesn't hurt to ask. How many times is that going to happen?
Exactly.
How many times are you going to actually be in the same room as an actor number one?
You know, not very often.
And nothing between you and the book but a thin piece of glass.
It sounds so sexy when you say it like that.
Right?
Like, got a little wood, I think. Anyway.
I got a job.
But it's for Superman, so it's okay.
That's right.
It's not gay if it's for Superman. And even if it is gay, who the fuck cares? Anyway.
If I were Marty, I would have taken that Stan Lee signed Amazing Fantasy and rubbed myself down with it. I would want to leave with like residual ink stains from the newsprint.
Just throw it in the bed and do a Demi Moore. Yeah. And it's like, this is no ordinary love.
Who sings that?
I don't know. Sade, I think.
Well, let's keep it that way, okay?
Yeah. Hey, the 90s called. They want their joke back. Anyway. Were there, as I was going around, like, you guys walked around the floor way more than I did because I was in the panel most of the day. Were there a lot of, I know there were a lot of cosplayers, but were there a lot of booth babes? Like, do they do booth babes anymore?
Yeah, there wasn't really.
I'm sorry.
There wasn't really any booth babes.
Booth uterine Americans?
Yeah, there was a limited number of uterine Americans working the booths in fantastic costumes. There was the one, the Poison Ivy one with the...
Well, there was a couple. I mean, the Medieval Times girl.
Yeah, but she actually works at Medieval Times.
But she was still a booth babe.
Doom Kitty.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I classify her as a booth babe because that's...
She's a professional.
That's what she does. It's not like she was hired to just stand around and look hot at a booth.
Yeah, Wizard World... I mean, she definitely had a lot more.
Yeah, Wizard World definitely had a lot more of hired guns.
And you know what? I mean, as far as pop culture goes, I think you're better off going to Wizard World. I personally wanted to see and get some Game of Thrones stuff because I like the show. They only had a couple things there, and there was only, two Daenerys we saw walking around.
Yeah.
And one Jon Snow, and that was it. The Jon Snow wasn't that great. But as far as comic book goes, Wizard World is not the place to go for comic books.
There just needs to be like a better distinction. Like you call something a Comic-Con, and it brings with it certain expectations.
Yeah.
Like that
there might be newsprint paper there.
You know, you think. I mean, I guess Pop Culture Con is too much. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the pop culture. I think it brings out, you know, a more diverse crowd. You get better cosplay. You get the booth babes. But I think that it is based on comics, and you should still have the comic influence. Wizard minimizes the comic presence too much. Mm. There needs to be a better mix of both. Baltimore is too far on the other end, where it's all comics. You don't get as much as the diversity.
Yeah, and plus, San Diego, the biggest in the world, from what I'm told, is more pop culture than anything.
Wow.
I mean, because they got, you know, video games.
The pop culture there is in overdrive, because you actually get real movie stars showing up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of become like... The mainstream has kind of co-opted what was very niche, and basically, I don't want to sound like this guy, but it was ours, and now it's everyone's.
Yeah.
And they don't want to give it back, and it doesn't suck. I mean, there's no such thing as bad exposure, I suppose, but
it's just a bizarre situation with the pop cultures, and everyone loves comics, everyone loves comic movies, it's not nerdy to think, you know, Iron Man is cool anymore, but nobody reads comics. Except the nerds, except the hardcore.
Yep. Well, it's amazing that I would see people there who they'd be cosplayed as something, and they don't know what it means that they like. There was this one guy. He was cosplaying Green Lantern.
I know where you're going.
I have a Green Lantern tattoo. Awesome. I have a ring and I have the lantern on my arm. And I was going around every Green Lantern I saw cosplaying. I was like, want to charge? And there was this one guy who was like, oh, that's a cool tattoo. And I'm like, yeah, you want to charge your ring? My friend will get a picture. Sure. How do I do this? And he's holding his arm in these awkward positions. I'm like, dude, you just touch it. It's like, and it's like he like didn't know what to do with himself. And I'm like, the first dude I came up to said, dude, you want to charge your ring? He was like, he was sprouting right into the oath. And he was like, in brightest day and blackest night. And it's like, we were having a grand old time. Second dude, he was like, he didn't know what he was wearing. What did your mom dress you up today? I mean, it's like, oh, goodness gracious. I mean, I'm glad I don't have the guy's name because I would totally shame him on the internet. It was ridiculous. It's like, and I don't want to be like an elitist and say, no, it's only for us. And like, everybody should enjoy whatever the fuck they want. Nobody should judge anybody. But still, if you're going to dress up as something, know what the fuck it means. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, I know there are like regular people out there who are like, oh, this don't be funny book shit. But I mean, this means something to me. I mean, I have it permanently branded on me because Green Lantern is willpower and it's about overcoming great fear, and it's like, and this dude didn't know how to which way to hold his arm.
It's bizarre that a dude would dress up at a con or a show, and
he was decked out to it. It looked like effort was put in.
Like, I understand, like, chicks just dress up just for whatever, but a dude went out of his way to dress like Green Lantern and doesn't know what the fuck it is.
I know.
I don't get it.
And it was a decent-looking costume.
Oh, except the mask.
Oh, yeah.
The mask was screwed up.
Looked like it was put on with Play-Doh a little bit.
Or cut out of a cardboard box.
I mean, and again, you think something looks cool, you want to dress up as it, fine, but I mean, when you... Oh, it's just stuck in my craw. It really is. Oh, anyway.
Explain what a craw is.
It is a metaphorical area in the brain. Where, you know, you can't. Or it's a metaphorical, like, mouth. You can't stop talking about something because it infuriates you so much. I think. At least that's my colloquial understanding. I don't know the dictionary definition of a craw. perhaps one of the listeners can finally make a comment on the page, and because I know you're listening, I've seen stats. Somebody's downloading this.
I've seen it.
So maybe someone can comment and not just comment saying you have a review page too. Actually, like, tell me how I'm doing. Anyway, but Marty, big Spider-Man fan that you are, have you been reading Superior Spider-Man?
Oh, God. We're going to have that conversation?
Well, we need...
Son of a bitch! All right, go ahead, Justin. What do you got to say?
It fucking sucks.
Oh, my God. Worst idea by the Marvel House of Ideas ever.
And why is that? I've heard great reviews about the stories. I've heard the stories are strong, and the characters are moving along, and it's great direction.
All right, so in my one moment of fairness to it, let me say that it is great writing. They are good stories. If you wanted to read a story about Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man,
at what Boulevard?
Right. They've ruined the Spider-Man book, starting with the death of Aunt May that they brought back, then the exposure of Spider-Man's secret identity, right? Then they added onto that shame the deal with the devil that he made with Mephisto to bring Aunt May back from the dead, or from the brink of death, right? And when all of that wasn't quite enough, right, they had to kill him off.
Yep.
And allow Dr. Octopus to take over his body, right? Here's a character that for 30-plus years we couldn't give him an even break, right? No decent job to hold down, nothing to do with his scientific genius. We're just going to let this character rot as a freelance photographer who can't pay his rent every month and can't possibly, you know, design a better web shooter than he had when he was 14 years old. So we finally get there. We finally get where he's got this great job at Horizon Labs. He's building all kinds of great Spider-Man tech and gear. You know, he was married to a beautiful model who actually just happened to be his best friend from when he was a kid. And you know, a character, they finally let him bring his life back together. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to kill him off. Because, you know, you've got to kill one every 4 months now.
Of course.
Right? So they kill him off. Doc Ock takes over his body and proceeds to ruin everything. He's going to make sure that he loses the job because he's an ass to everybody at Horizon Labs. All of his old friends on the Daily Bugle. He killed somebody, which is a completely un-Spider-Man-like move, un-Peter Parker-like move. So he killed a character. He, some of the minor characters, well, I can't even think of her name. See, you got me all pissed off.
I'm sorry.
The one that does what you're doing right now. She does podcasts. Anyway, he bashed her, like, to the point where she had broken bones and everything.
Oh, my God.
The vulture, he put him in a comatose state. Again, you know, just actions that are unbecoming.
The new Vulture?
The old Vulture. Not that he was far from a comatose state, but, you know.
I was going to say, how... You didn't have to hit him hard to make him wet his pants, that's for sure.
But yeah, he took over the vault. He blackmailed the mayor, who just happens to be J. Jonah Jameson. I mean, it couldn't get any worse, so that if and when they finally do the... because you demanded it, the return of the one true Spider-Man, Peter Parker. When they finally get around to doing that, if and when... What you're going to get is a character who has lost everything. There's no reason to return.
But there's no way he can just be like, listen, my body was taken over. I mean, he could say it was a Skrull. There's Skrulls all over the place, couldn't he? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody will buy that.
Or maybe Reed Richards could find a temporal vortex and, like, realities will close in and, like, fold into a new temporal reality.
I don't know if the mic picked it up in the podcast, but I could have swore Marty's voice wavered a little bit and there's tears rolling down.
Well, as far as my listeners will know, yes, he is crying uncontrollably.
It's those deep, racking sobs.
I would definitely, on a later date, I would definitely like to have you, Marty, back on, and we can do an entire Spider-Man theme. We can do the entire history of Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
I would love to get into that with a man who obviously has as much knowledge as you have.
How much time you got?
Well, I mean, I just, I'm in the midst of a whole mini-series of podcasts. I brought someone on to talk about Thor after the Thor trailer came out, my good friend Kim Howell. And
the Dark World looks fantastic.
I know, right? And I thought we were just going to do a standard, you know, half-hour, 45-minute podcast. We proceeded to talk for 6 hours. So that's in the midst of that right now. But
signal.
6 hours discussing the Thor movie?
Not just Thor movie. The history of Thor in the comics and various incarnations and Avengers
really cool.
And Loki. It turned out really cool. So I'm thinking that's what I might do from now on. Like, just do, like, long-form chats and cut them up into multi-part episodes.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So Justin, favorite comic book character and favorite comic book story, and why?
Of all time?
All time.
Say Superior Spider-Man and you're done.
It is certainly not Superior Spider-Man, but it probably would be Spidey. My favorite storyline might be The Killing Joke. My favorite individual story.
That's a Batman.
Yeah, it is Batman. But, but my favorite character is probably Spider-Man.
And what's your favorite story involving Spider-Man?
That's a good question. Certainly not anything recent. I haven't bought Spidey since the One More Day.
Wow.
Feel how hot that is.
You seem to me like a big fan of the Clone Saga.
My prime buying years did involve the Clone Saga. It was enjoyable for what it was.
Try to explain that to me one more time, because the way I understand it, I was never a big Marvel guy. Somewhere, somehow, they cloned Peter Parker, and the clone was Spider-Man for a long time, but nobody knew.
They changed all that. I think that was the original plan, and, like, Marty is throwing back to, like, the old school original storyline, I guess.
Around 148, 149.
Yeah, with the Jackal who clones him, but who's never to be seen again until the, you know, Notorious Clone Saga. But, it was supposed to be, the clone was supposed to be Peter Parker the whole time, or vice versa, and then they pushed out.
Thank God.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been awful.
Right? Because what that says is, I mean, that happened, what, somewhere close to 500 range or whatever.
Right.
Says, okay, for 150 issues, you got a Spider-Man story. We've been dicking you over for 300 and some issues.
This is Dallas all over again.
Yeah, and you got a clone story instead.
Yeah, that would have been the worst decision ever. That would have been worse than One More Day.
So when you talk about Spider-Man and you want to see somebody get really passionate, I've never seen Marty so passionate.
It's a shame that we missed the conversation from earlier, because that's when it really was letting fly.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'm just every time I hang out with you guys, I'm just gonna have it recording, and just like I'm gonna invest in a memory card and battery company.
You should, because the intense conversations that go on between us is just, and if Joe was here, holy crap.
I have to get a recorder on game nights.
He could just go off on these tangents. Some of the shit that he talks about, nobody would understand. Nobody, because it's just like some vague panel that's in some 1960s book that nobody reads, but yet the continuity changes just because of like one sentence or something. He knows it.
For those that don't know, on the podcast, Joe is the proprietor of Captain Blue Hens Comics in Newark, Delaware, my favorite place in the entire planet. And I will stroke Captain Blue Hens' knob all day.
Wow.
I love that place.
I think you can Google that and find that.
But anyway,
that shit's out there.
But Joe, the owner of that establishment, he can talk about comics the way quantum physicists talk about this, like space, and it's quite amazing, like fascinating. And you're like, oh my God, I feel so dumb, like because this man is just obviously he's on a different level completely. Great guy to talk to. I got to get him on the show.
So
can we switch to video mode now as we head into the field?
Yeah, let's take a hiatus and let's go eat because Marty's stomach is touching his back.
And there you have it, Baltimore Comic Con edition of Back Pocket Entertainment Podcast. Hope you had a great time. Thank you so much to Dan, Justin, and Marty. You guys were great. I got to get you guys in a room where there's no traffic going by. Hope that wasn't too distracting, listeners. I hope you got everything. But yeah, awesome time. Stay tuned to Back Pocket Entertainment for the rest of the Baltimore Comic Con updates. We've got videos, reviews, and pictures to go up, so stay tuned for that. And I think we're out of chips.
Please hang up and try again.